Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology on Blog Talk Radio. We are three astrologers who get together every week to talk about what's going on in the sky and how that's reflected in the life around us. My name is Mark Waltz. I'm speaking to you from New York City, and I'm joined by...
Ann Ortley, at my desk on the Upper West, on the Upper East Side, rather, with Handsome, sitting here looking at me, going, did you feed me yet, woman?
And is Handsome a person or a cat?
Handsome's my big black and white cat. He loves to participate in the show. He's actually our fourth astrologer. He howls when there's something going on, exciting, yeah.
And he acts it out for you.
He acts it out for me, yeah.
Yes. Then this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, on a beautiful clear night after some amazing thunderstorms yesterday.
Wow.
So we're here, and it's been quite a week. I'm still hearing that people are in kind of emotional ferment from last week, but we've kind of come over some rough waters. How are you two?
I'm coughing. That's my new thing, is a cough, cough, cough. I have this little cough thing that I do. As if to demonstrate it for you, right there we go, you know. But otherwise, I'm fine. I really am like, I know it means I flew on airplanes. I need to go to bed a little earlier and be a good girl. So hard to do, too much to do. The world is busy, got to stuff, but, you know, you got to stop sometimes.
And, mm-hmm. And Mark, how are you?
I have a little, still a little trace of sore throat left.
Mm-hmm. You all went to the big astrological convention in New Orleans, and I gather that, and I've spoken to many people who have come back from that conference with a bit of a cough. But I saw that you were all quoted on the news, according to AOL, in that the prediction that Obama would probably win the election was came up at one of your panels and was quoted on national news.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
There were five astrologers up there, and they all used different approaches and all reached the conclusion that he would be elected. So.
Well, from their lips to, you know, the goddess's ears, as they say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely an interesting, because everybody had it from different way, you know, different processes and different ways of getting there, so it was good, you know, it was kind of like, all right.
That's interesting.
Yeah. You know, I'm always, you know, I keep getting Jeb Bush, which I have no idea where I'm getting, you know, that Romney's going to nominate Jeb Bush and then that'll be the new guy, and I'm like, oh, no, no, no.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, 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 no.
But.
So.
We've fingers crossed on that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The astrological pattern. I'm watching George Bush's charts. Often we see that people, when they're out of the public eye, it's their memory that's affected by the by the aspects, and so how we feel about them changes. You know, we saw some wonderful aspects for Gandhi just when his movie came out, and wonderful aspects on Jim Morrison just when his movie came out. So we often see the energy shifting around that. And, you know, George W. has his sun at 13 degrees of Cancer, and Mars has been going back and forth over his Mars in Virgo. Saturn has been on his moon in Jupiter. And there was a recent poll of who was the least favorite president of all time, and for the very first time in a long time, it wasn't Jimmy Carter, it was George W. Bush.
Wow.
So the memory is shifting as these chart goes through some tough transits, which I found kind of
interesting
to watch.
Interesting, yeah. Wow.
And I noticed that tonight we've got Mercury is exactly opposed Pluto, which also doesn't help lungs any. Whenever Mercury I see has bad aspects, my breathing gets a little screwy.
Mm-hmm.
So Mercury opposed Pluto, square Uranus. It's exact at 8:08 tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll be interesting to watch what comes out in the news tonight and tomorrow. But I've had about 4 people call me up and go, I am just so depressed, and I don't have any reason why.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on?
Right.
Not everybody. A lot of people are feeling good about some changes or excited about possibilities. But I am hearing that quite strongly. And people who have, especially those who have had some major changes, either who feel completely stuck and don't feel like there's any change on the horizon, or people who feel at a crossroads in their life and are not sure which way to go,
mm-hmm.
which would both feel that grand square action.
Right. And kind of that whole, like, what am I doing? Where am I going? Why am I here?
Right.
Yeah.
And this is going to be set off over and over again. And one thing about having those two at right angles for the next 3 years is every month the moon hits it 4 times, every time a planet, you know, Mercury and Venus are going to hit those 4 corners, one of those 4 corners, and square, conjunct, or oppose 4 times a year. So is the sun. All the major planets are going to be hitting those together
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
setting that pattern off, giving us yet another opportunity to work on it.
Right.
So
yeah,
no
and
hurry.
It really, you know, and that's the whole point of it is really saying, okay, it is an evolutionary square. It's Cancer, so it's going to push you in the areas where you're not feeling comfortable, and it's going to ask you to
mm-hmm.
shift and change
mm-hmm.
in the areas you feel like, oh, I know this is the way it's always been, this is the way it should always be. And it's like, no, we have to evolve, we have to change. And similar to anything that's being faced with evolutionary choices, we can feel overwhelmed by it, but the best way to look at it is to kind of, you know, for lack of a better word, let go and let God, or let go and let Goddess, where you just kind of go, okay,
mm-hmm.
I don't have any control over this, but I'm riding it, I can feel it shifting, I can feel it coming in, and it, you know, if I just keep showing up and doing the work and trying to be in my highest intention for good, then I'm
mm-hmm.
going to be okay. Because it's really when we tighten down, you know, and clutch that we really get hurt.
Right.
So it's
right.
about, you know, relaxing into it. You know, it's when you
And that's
breathe.
Not easy, because those two planets bring up a lot of anxiety
yes.
and worry.
Yes.
And you're absolutely right. You're like breathing into it, and it's instead of tightening down into our personal worry,
mm-hmm.
any chance we can of taking a deep breath and standing back and letting our higher selves work on that will be more comfortable and produce better results.
Yeah, and not staying in fear mode. Because fear mode is it tensions.
Yeah.
When you're in fear mode,
mm-hmm.
you lock up. You know, and one of the things
yep,
they
yep.
talk about, and it was I thought it was interesting that when you stand at attention, it freezes
mm-hmm.
your breathing, and that way you can
mm-hmm.
be led easily or, you know, marched into
mm-hmm.
war. You know, where normally you would go, what do you mean you're going to try and shoot at me? I don't want to do that. It allows you to, you know, tighten and be guided
mm-hmm.
by, you know, against your better instincts. When you're having
mm-hmm.
this, it's saying, okay, I'm in the flow. What's my instinct to do here? Not to struggle with it, but to work with it. You know, it's kind of like quicksand or, you know, getting caught in a tide. You don't struggle back into shore. You kind of go with the flow and you see where it's going to take you. And then when you feel it shifting, then you turn and you say, okay, let me try and do this again. And I think that's
mm-hmm.
the Uranus-Pluto square, because it is at odds, and because it's in the sign of Cancer, or it's not in the sign of Cancer, but it's in Aries, Capricorn, and it forms a square that's a Cancer-shaped square. So it's the crisis of having to change, having to adapt, having to shift to meet it. And I think that's really
mm-hmm.
the biggest
mm-hmm.
journey for all of us. We, you know, we get kind of locked in our ruts, and we expect our life to be a certain way, and then it kind of changes, and we go, wow, you know, that's like so not what I wanted. And it's like, well, you know, you're happening, so why don't you try it? See what it, you know, you didn't want squid, but it's on the table. You might actually like it. You know, it's peas and carrots. I don't eat peas. Okay,
no,
well, you know, that's what's being served for dinner tonight, you know. And it's understanding that it's the universe is serving up a whopping
mm-hmm.
big dose of change, so.
Yeah.
And we don't like change. We really, you know, we always make that, oh, yeah, change is good. Change
and,
is good.
You know, there's just, I mean, I am seeing a lot of fear cramping down
mm-hmm.
on the when people's fear of change. So we just remember that the real aspects that will ease us into change, the real clutch, you know, that Uranus-Pluto is exact in a few weeks.
Yeah, it hasn't even happened yet.
Exact over and over again for the next seven times in the next 3 years.
We're going to get used to it.
Get used to it. And don't worry if it hasn't happened already.
Right. Mark, how are you seeing it showing up?
Very much what you all have been saying. And it kind of it shows a couple of choices that we have for dealing with this. And one choice is to take advantage of the fear, whether it's in myself or in others, and sort of lead them by a kind of negative way of saying, oh, we have to be careful of change, and we have to do something to resist it. So that's the reactionary tendency. You know, whatever is starting to shift, react against it. Don't let it shift, right? And those people who go that route will claim that they saved us from a bad change, whether it's true or not. And you can't sort of disprove it because it didn't happen. So, you know, it's like, oh, look, we saved you from that bad thing that didn't happen. Well, how do you know it was going to happen? Anyway, that's one tendency. But the other one is to, as you were saying, to move through the change, work with the change, sense what it is, and embrace it in some way. Maybe not the whole thing, maybe not head on, maybe a little more oblique, like, you know, don't go straight into the wave, go kind of at a cross current to it. And, deal with it in whatever way it can be dealt with so that it's meaningful and begins to make a shift. And don't worry about what the big shift is going to be. Deal with the little shift. So that's another strategy. And
I agree. It's like, do what you can.
Yeah. And you do what you can. And don't try to, you know, see the whole great big, you know, nasty picture, because then it does become overwhelming. It becomes something that we fear and we feel is too big a change. Well, don't let it be too big a change. Let it be a little change at a time.
Yeah.
Now, one of our fans or one of our listeners wrote in and asked about more information on solar flares, because we mention them now and then. We've talked about them in a bit in the past, but I thought I'd review some of it because the sun has acted consistently, not huge solar flares lately, but consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go back and look at history, you know, something that we don't talk about much in astrology because it's not so predictable, it's a variable that we have to keep our eyes on rather than get an ephemeris for. So we can't, you know, seek it out ahead of time. But it seems to act like a volume control on all the other aspects. And that when if a Uranus-Pluto square was to happen at a quiet time, that may have less effect. But when the Uranus and Pluto were conjunct in the mid-60s, the sun was very active. Right now, it's very active. And it goes on these slow, you know, usually roughly every 11 years, from active peak to active peak, and with quiet troughs in between. We're just coming out of an unusually long 12 to 14-year quiet streak, and one of the longest quiet streaks we've ever had after Obama was elected until very recently, until the last couple of months. And when the sun is very quiet, it's very hard to get political change to happen. And we saw this in the Russians were the first people to study this pattern. And there's been an American activist, Carol Moore. If you Google Carol Moore sunspots, you'll go to her website, and she breaks down the pattern through history and the cycle that they've noticed about the political change around astrology, around the sun activation. And I notice that it gets particularly intense when the sun gets very active and starts throwing off solar flares and the whole surface of the planet is bubbling, and the major aspects. It just like pours the energy into those major aspects and really cranks them up. So it's well worth keeping an eye on and we can see that at spaceweather.com. And she also recommended an Australian program because Australia has a very thin ozone layer on it, so they keep a very close eye on the solar weather. And the ips.gov.au has a really good website also for solar activity. And sometimes when people just are acting strange or everybody's feeling a little exhausted or like they've done too much and they haven't done anything, I check and I see that the sun's been active and we've been hit by a wave of extrasolar energy. It's been interesting to break it down and look. You can go back on the records on spaceweather.com and see what the sun was doing when you were born and report back if you know what, how you see that effect. I've been keeping an eye on it with people. I still haven't got anything hard and fast to go on. I have noticed that in general when the sun is very high and active when the person was born, they're often they may be metaphysically inclined, but they're also looking for really practical answers. They want to see what's going on here on Earth. They get involved easily. When the sun was very quiet when they were born, they seem to be more looking at the cosmos and less on earthly activity, more metaphysical and less practical, but also, you know, that each one has a gift and a strength to it. So it's really interesting to look at where the sun, how active the sun was when the person was born. So when we refer to that, we look, oh, solar activity. It's more like all the other aspects that we're seeing now have the volume up on them.
Mm. They get louder, they get more amped, they
get
more
louder,
excited.
Yes, amp up. Because that
is wow,
all the other
volume high. How do I turn it down a little? Yeah.
Exactly.
And as we're coming out of a period of relative quiet, it's kind of like when you turn on the stereo in the car and your kids have been driving it and the music is like, rah! And you're like, oh my God, you know, and you kind of turn it down quick. You grab the dial quick because it's so loud. So that energy can also feel a little abrasive because we haven't really had it in a while. And now we're getting a dose of it. So it's kind of like, you know, just being aware. And also, we talked briefly at the beginning of the show. We have a couple things big this week. We have Chiron stationing to go retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he stops tomorrow. So he's been paused in the sky now for a couple of days. And he's getting ready to shift and change his form. And then we have Jupiter entering into Gemini today. So Jupiter is all about abundance.
Yes, that's also very exciting.
And that's a new 12-year cycle starting around your Gemini house as he kind of kicks off that energy. So thinking back to the cycles that you started in 2000 and then in 88 and in 76, he's kind of echoing those and saying to you, well, what'd you do back then? We're getting ready to start a new chapter, you know, and we often find that there is kind of a jump start in your in the house that Gemini rules in your chart and in that area of your life around siblings and communication and connection and, you know, what do you want to learn and how do you want to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting time. So we like Jupiter in Gemini. So it's got a great opportunity to do things, and
I'm wondering about that. It's interesting that it's great for getting the word out, but it can also mean there'll be an awful lot of shallow information. So it's going to be up to us to make sure that this beautiful ability to get the word out is that we ask the deeper questions.
Mm-hmm. And Gemini, and we do love our Geminis, but they do have a little tendency to sometimes prevaricate and not always tell the truth. So the other part of it is...
It's great for a presidential election, huh?
Yeah, it's great for a presidential election to kind of go, well, and then they did this, and you go, really? Tell me about it. You know, and I know when people start going, oh, that Obamacare, I'm like, well, what are you actually referring to? It hasn't really been rolled out yet, you know? Like, what are you talking about? You don't have it yet, so... You know what, and asking questions and getting people to actually realize what they don't know, because a lot of times we do talking head things where we just repeat stuff we've heard without necessarily understanding the facts behind it. So Jupiter in Gemini has a lot of fact-based gossipy stuff, but it doesn't necessarily you know, talk. So, I mean, in the culture today, we had the whole Robert Kennedy releasing the documents that he had filed about his wife who killed herself. And I'm like, the woman's dead. What are you doing? Stop already. You know, it's Gemini. It's gossip. It's like, ooh, you know. And that we will find, you know, Gemini does tend towards the gossip. So it's also being aware of if you don't have something nice to say, maybe not saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Or being aware that when you say it, it could be repeated.
Right.
Or it might go further than you intended to.
Or it might go further than you intended to, yeah.
Yeah, it might, mm-hmm. you know, jump across a border.
Mm-hmm. Might actually be published on the internet, you know, and it's like,
yeah.
Don't say it unless you plan on seeing it in the paper, you know.
Yeah, figure every email is public domain.
Public domain, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. But, yeah, I thought it was an interesting thing. But, yeah, the Jupiter house, I mean, I know I've already been seeing it a little bit in my fourth house because it just seems like there's paper everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I already have a lot of paper, so I'm like, really? More? How can I get rid of this? And, you know, and somebody said, well, you can scan it. And I'm like, oh, no, I like to touch my paper. But it also is, you know, what is your vision of what you want to do? So as we start this new 12-year cycle, which happened today, and then we also have Mercury in Cancer, which is very sensitive emotionally. So that's, I've had a few people saying, I keep crying. I'm like, yeah, it's Mercury in Cancer. Neptune stationing, Chiron
and Mercury,
stationing.
And Mercury opposed, Mercury trine Neptune.
Right.
And Mercury then went into an opposition to Pluto and square Uranus.
Yeah.
It's okay to cry.
You're supposed to cry. Get, you know, it's good for you. It clears those toxins out. So... yeah, so it's just, you know, being kind to yourself. But it is almost next week is big. The week after is big. We got a lot rocking this month. So,
right.
You know, the whole idea is what's your vision for your life? And how do you want to get there? And
cry, be nice to yourself, and then take a step in the right direction over and over again.
Be nice to myself, take a step in the right direction.
See,
I like that.
Even by the end of the week, we'll feel a lot more kind of stable and forward motion.
Yeah.
With Mercury in Cancer, people, the last thing they want to do is feel rejected. So anytime we tend to move back towards familiar people, familiar situations that don't take a lot of personal risk.
Right, right.
And that's okay. Do we have any callers on the line?
We do have callers on the line. And let me pull up the studio. I've got the... I don't have the studio up. I have the account up. Okay, we have callers on the line, and we will also, if you want to talk to us, press 1, and we'll see you. And our calling number, we only have 6 minutes left, so don't even bother calling if you haven't called yet, because we're not going to be able to answer your phone anyway. All right, so we'll go with 631. Hello, 631. You're on the line.
Hi, Ann. Hi,
hi,
Mark. Hi, Heather. It's Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Hi. Just great.
Good.
What is going on in my chart? Oh, my God. It's...
Tell me the birth... Tell us your information and then tell us what the question is, hon.
6/29/1959, 11:10 p.m., Queens, New York.
6/29, 11. And you were saying?
And
what's going on?
A lot of depression. I was told by a different astrologer, not Anne, that all my bad transits were over, and I feel like they're just beginning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, honey, they're not over.
So
if
there's just anything that you see that I need to know about.
It's not bad. It's wildly moody. You know, you've got that. We talked tonight about the T-square that Pluto, Uranus, and... Mercury are all forming, and it's right on your sun to do that.
Yep.
So your sun is at 7 degrees of Cancer. Mercury is at 8 degrees of Cancer. So Mercury's been lighting up all those issues. Uranus is at 8 degrees of Aries, and Pluto is at 8 degrees of Capricorn. And they're going to go back and forth over that point over your sun for a little while. So
till October.
You know, yeah. You're still in the midst of this, and, you know, to be just really kind to yourself in the process. It looks like your progressed moon in Aries will give you some gumption. You know, you're coming out of some of the demands that you change, but you may still be moving be doing a lot of processing and a lot of crazy wild cards going on around you.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely. Do you see
a
move?
Is there a specific question that we can help you with?
A move. Do you see a move for me?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
More towards next year, though.
Mm-hmm.
More towards next
year. Fourth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's a lot of pressure on the sun, literally, in your fifth house of children. So there's
mm-hmm.
stuff going on there. And that story
runs. I even wrote to you about that.
Yeah, that story runs. That's going to run until the end of September, beginning of October, and then it shifts. And then it has a bit of release. Yeah.
I'm
going
to have a
Neptune's
big release
going back
then.
And forth, sextiling your moon.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not quite sure whether or not you want to move. It looks like there's been a lot of pressure on you to move over the last few months as your progressed moon conjunct Uranus. But some of that pressure may be easing off and giving you a little bit more room to kind of, you know, you want to move towards something, not just away from. And moving isn't your idea of a good time, that's for sure.
No, yeah,
definitely. With a north move.
So, now, I don't see Gemini when I look at my chart. So I know
mm-hmm.
it's coming out of my second house.
It's in your third house going
right at
into
the
fourth.
Of your house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Third house is communication, siblings and children, cars. And then it's in the third house now, so it'll be there for about another few months, and then it gets into the fourth house. And at that time, it's an opportunity to move. But it goes back and forth over the fourth house.
And then Jupiter hits
three
the fourth
times.
House.
Yeah, so you don't
so
have
what
to
would,
move.
Right now, like, what would Jupiter mean
mm-hmm.
to me really quick? You know,
Jupiter,
you know,
right, for you right now, Natalie lives in the house of legal matters, and it rules you. And it rules your direction in life and where you're headed. So it's conversations around with siblings, with people around options and choices, because Jupiter is in Gemini, so it always does present us with a couple of options. And
any advice
starting
on how to
12
use
years
that?
Cycle. Pardon?
Any advice on how to use that in a positive way?
Well, I think with Gemini, it's always exploring all the choices and saying, "And what else? What other options do I have? What other options do I have?" It's not taking the first choice that you get, or believing that there's only one way to do it, because
okay.
if you look at multiple choices, the multiple choices are very much about, okay, this is an option, that's an option, this is an option, that's an option, and a lot of times you can feel a little trapped. So, or feel like your choices are limited, and it really with Jupiter and Gemini, it's like actually sometimes there's too many choices, so it's hard to decide which one to choose, and it also feels a bit like sometimes you're bouncing between things.
Okay.
Yeah, Mark, what do you
think? Jupiter in my second house, you guys were right. It definitely didn't make me rich.
Mm-hmm.
You hit it right on the nose. It was everything was coming up. I mean, I always had to spend money on something. Where, you know, you would think, I was, like, so excited, second house, you know, money,
mm-hmm.
luck, expansion, oh, no.
Oh,
what
I used to find is it's lots of. Jupiter is lots of, but, you know, in the second house can be lots of expenses.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's what it was.
But it can also be protection, you know, that usually that there is lots of expenses but enough money to cover it. But it's, you know, really having to watch that the outflow doesn't supersede the inflow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Mark, do you see anything you want to add before the?
Well, this whole period with the Pluto-Uranus square is going to be very active because it affects your nodes. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of things coming in and going out, and a lot of it is karmically related. So, you know, pay attention to the lesson in everything that comes in and goes out, and especially this thing. Okay.
Okay.
You know, done with that. What did I learn from it?
Mm-hmm. Send in the next lesson. Send in the next lesson. Send
mm-hmm.
in the next.
Right.
Because it's really about kind of processing through it. And Gemini always does have that sense of, you know, kind of speedy. So it feels like everything is going really speedy and you're not necessarily able to make choices rapidly. So make the best choice you can in the moment you're in. But with the T-square sitting on your nodes and your sun, this is really, you're making important choices between now and the fall. So it's also make them from a heart place, a heart, you know, which you naturally do anyway because of your Taurus moon,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just love, you know, love what you can love and, you know, tell the rest, okay, I don't really love you, but I recognize you're important to me, so I'll try and figure out a way to work with you. So,
okay.
Yeah. The British lady
okay,
has spoken, so I think we're done.
We are signing off.
Yeah.
This is Access Astrology, Mark Waltz in New York.
Heather Rowan Robbins from St. Paul, Minnesota.
And Ann Ortley on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. So have a great week, folks.
Okay.
And we'll
Thanks
see you soon. Take care.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye.